Lifestyle matters. It's more than money.
I'm Faisal Carmally, my co-host here, Dave Popowich. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good week. Good week. Interesting week. Fun week. All those things.
The look on my face is when you say it was a good week to start with.
Yeah.
Start with. Interesting week.
Yeah.
I found it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are talking about going outside.
Well, listen, we get nice weather and it's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
We have to hope everybody stays reasonable and sensible and whatnot. But
yeah.
You know what? As soon as you get that weather change, right, moods change too.
Sure.
Right? You can't discount that. Yeah, that was part of it. I got out golfing this week and,
yep.
So that was a fun week. So there was lots of things going on. You know, in the markets and in personal lives. In fact, we're going to talk a little bit about personal lives today. I had an interesting week.
So did I.
Talking about that. Yeah, you and I were chatting. So we'll talk about the personal aspect
of retirement.
Of lifestyle and retirement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the connection to finance, because that's always interesting. But we're also going to talk about real estate. Lots of people invested in real estate.
Lots of people really invested in real estate. There's been a bit of a shock happening because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of business owners plan to sell their business / commercial property to fund their retirement. That was their retirement savings.
Yep.
And so given the fact...
Or even cash flow off of it, right? So hold the building and keep the rent, right?
And given the fact, not just COVID,
yep.
but because of the oil crash, mm-hmm. because of what Alberta's gone through, how viable of a strategy is it?
Right.
You know, and that's a key thing that we have to look at. And then... all this money
yep,
that the government's been printing and and passing out to individuals and corporations, helping the financial system still work, we estimate probably $1 trillion total.
I think we'll get to that number if you add in the monetary policy through the central bank,
correct? Monetary and fiscal policy, a trillion.
Yeah. A million. It's not even a rounding error.
That's just the first day of interest. How are we going to pay for it?
Yeah. Well, and we're going to talk about some of the other support programs, you know, just give an update as to everything that's available. But lots of questions now about how do we pay for all this stuff going forward, right? So we'll have Jamie Golan back give us a sort of tax breakdown on that.
A lot of attention, Dave, this week was on the Canadian banks.
Yeah, as it should be.
Bank earnings came out. Of course, there have big drops in bottom line, mainly, because of this item called loan loss provision.
Right.
And jump in on this one if you can, mm-hmm. because a loan loss provision is money set aside to cover bad debts that the banks lent out that they feel may not be able to be fully recovered.
Correct.
And that goes against the capital that hits
the bottom
line.
Directly goes against earnings.
And so that's why you're hearing large double-digit drops in earnings of these banks.
Yeah.
One bank in Canada, Laurentian Bank, did cut their dividend.
Yep. 40%. It was material.
Now, the conversation comes up is when these types of things happen, how strong are the banks? I'm not as concerned about that. They've got good capital ratios. They're fitting within a lot of the parameters that have been set even past the mm-hmm. 2008 financial crisis.
Yeah.
What I find interesting is the amount of money that these banks have put aside for loan loss provisions, knowing that people and companies are not going to pay them back.
Well, there's a couple of components to it, right? There are loans that have soured, say 90 days, no payments being made. Then there's another component, of loan loss provisions that based on the banking system has to be set aside, which aren't yet soured, but they think might. Okay, so they're still performing loans, but they're set into that category of the loan loss provisions.
Yeah.
Right? So if you total it all up for the big five, we're about just under $11 billion in loan loss provisions were announced. You will look at the trading activity this week on the banks. And it was interesting because the market was trying really to price these things based on whether they thought more loan loss provisions would have to be. So those companies, those banks that were really quite aggressive in setting aside loan loss provisions actually got treated better than those that the market was saying, I'm not sure that that's
you enough.
Know, I think more is coming, right? Look at oil and gas. Right now, about 3% of the total loan book in the big banks set into that category. But if you go back to 16, I think it got as high as 6%. Yep. So there's some speculation that we're, you know, that there's more to, there's more to come here, right? But generally speaking, we did see a positive trade on the banks, you know, once these came out, because even with those loan loss provisions that they've set aside, they're still strong.
The interesting part about that is we're hearing the GDP numbers, job numbers come out shocking, you know, almost double digits in GDP loss.
But better than expected.
But better than expected. Double digit unemployment rate expected. But where does the future lie?
Mm-hmm.
And I think the loan loss provision gives us a bit of a window to say there's going to be a lot more impact. I have seen just this week alone a handful of restaurants being announced that they're shutting down.
And not reopening, right?
Right. Buongiorno's one of my favorite Italian restaurants.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. So I was sad to hear about that. You're going to, these are just the restaurants because they're front store facing.
Yeah.
They're known. How many more businesses will shut down and how it trickles through is the best indicator of what future losses are going to be in the economy is that loan loss provision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not saying it's going to be a really bad situation, but it's not going to be a V-shaped recovery in the economy. It's going to take a lot and everybody to open up in order for us to go back to having a robust economy of 2019 levels. Mm-hmm. And that was robust. So how do you plan for that when you're going through your retirement? You know, the next, call it 1, 2, maybe even 3 years is going to be choppy. Real estate. Try selling a home. It was frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's opening up and we'll see how that works. So if you wanted to sell your property, your commercial building, whatever, these are the things that people have to think about given today because they were hoping for that in the year 2020, Dave, I'm going to retire and I'm going to dispose of my assets so I can live the lifestyle I want.
Yeah.
And then you get hit with the COVID crisis slash oil market slide. It is a hard way to plan this. And so what I still think that people are doing is they're looking at their investments, their money, their different pools of capital in silos. They are not collectively putting it together with a plan.
Well, and let me add to that. And real estate investors tend to do this well, is you can have a massive concentration risk.
Yeah.
Right, we talk about in the investment portfolio, we put limits as to what your position sizing can be to avoid concentration risk. But that sort of thinking doesn't get carried on a broader perspective when people are thinking about all of their wealth, their total assets, right? So if you had a commercial building, and we're going to talk about commercial buildings today, but if that represented a significant portion of your total wealth, then you are subject to the concentrated risk in that building and the timing on that and the tenancy and all of those different things, right? And so I think you make a really good point that people need to stop thinking in silos and look at their total wealth perspective.
How many times, Dave, have we heard, oh, that's my property or that's my commercial building or my business and this is my investment portfolio. Just look at my investment portfolio.
Well, we're going to talk about that in the fourth segment. This is very, very germane. There's a couple of things I want to raise.
Okay.
But it's going to be principally set around that, about a total wealth conversation.
Yeah.
And I want not just to think about dollars either when I talk about total
you
wealth.
You could really have capital destruction
mm-hmm.
when you do not look at your entire net worth and you only look at certain pieces.
Right.
Because it could really impact. And
that's
ask anybody who invested in oil and gas, lives in Calgary, has their home in Calgary, and has their job in oil and gas company. And you want to talk about concentration risk?
Right.
Voila.
Right.
And they lost their job.
Right.
And their house fell in value. And their portfolio, which was in oil and gas, fell.
Right. And that's not a knock at Calgary, because the same could be said for Vancouver Island if you're in forestry.
Or Ottawa.
At Ottawa at
for
times.
Tech.
And Tech Valley. Yeah, you
bet. It happens everywhere.
Yeah.
So these are the issues and concerns that people need to be aware of. And so we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, June 16th, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Stick around after the break. We're going to be chatting about investing in real estate in retirement here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.